This week's parsha, the Rabbi and the spies have sent out a mission. They're supposed to see what's the deal with this land, Eretz Yisrael. Is it good? Is it bad? The types of people that are there? Fruits? Is it fortified? Bring back the facts. And in fact, they do that. They come back and they tell them what they saw. They brought the fruits. They brought proof. Look, this is what we saw over there. So what was the big deal? Such a grave sin that so many people had to die. A sin that we still feel the ramifications of to this day. What was so bad? So the Ramban says that it was one word. One word that the Meraglim added in. And that was Ephes. Ki azam. They said it's impossible. We can't take them on. We can't go ahead and be successful. The pasuk continues. Ve'hanashim asher alu mimo amru lo nuchal alo salam. We can't go up there. Ki chazakum mimenu. We can't take over them. They're too strong for us. What was their sin? It's something that we experience every day. We try to become better and better at. There are facts, and then there's interpretation. When you learn a Gemara, sometimes you see what it says, and then we jump, we extrapolate, we deduce from there. We make a move. We have assumptions, and we have interpretations. Are those assumptions correct? The way that we interpreted the situation, is that correct? The Meraglim were sent for one thing and one thing only. Bring back the facts. Then you let Hashem, Moshe, whoever it is, they'll tell us what to do with these facts. You bring back the big fruit, they'll tell us what that means. You tell us about the people, we'll tell you what to do about those people. Instead, they added on one important point, and they said, because of what we saw, we can't do it. It's impossible. That added interpretation, that perush, was what was the gravity of their sin. What did they see? What led them to this interpretation? So the pasuk continues. They walked through ha'aretz asher avarnu ba asur osa eretz ochelas yoshvehi. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. Our interpretation is based on something that we saw. What did we see? We were walking in, and Rashi explains, they saw people left and right burying others. B'chol makom she'avarnu, every place that we walked, matza'anu kovrei mesim, they were burying the dead. V'akadosh baruch hu asa l'tova. Rashi says, but this is where their interpretation was incorrect, because Hashem made these people die that day for the benefit of these 12 spies. They retired them be'evlam, so that the people living in Eretz Yisrael would be very busy, tarud, with their avelus, with mourning. V'lo yitnu lev le'elu, so they won't notice this whole entire bunk, this whole camp, walking through. You know, you have to send the spies, and one guy, two guys, if 12 guys dancing through the land, how can you not notice them? So Hashem made it that they'd be so busy, so tarred with burying that they wouldn't notice that the Meraglim were going through, and therefore it was for their benefit. They saw lots of people dying. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. We can't go there. This place we can't go. The people are giants. We can't take them on. That was their interpretation. But if they would have observed correctly, if they would have noticed what's going on and interpreted it differently, they would have even seen that it was all for the good. It was for their benefit. Their interpretation was incorrect. Their observation was wrong. But how should they figure that out? How should they have known that it was for the good? How could they figure that out? And that would have been my first reaction if I see everyone dying and being buried. So the two different explanations, with each one has a very important lesson for us. The Steiger Gaon writes, he gives a mashal. We'll make the mashal into our own terms, our own words. Sometimes we hear that there's a car accident on some faraway highway, some state, and God forbid someone passed away. We don't know those people. We don't even never heard of that state. We don't know anything. We move on with life as if nothing happened. Why? Why does that stir us up? Why doesn't it get us all excited and nervous? Because we hear about this every day. Unfortunately, these types of things happen all the time. So the more you hear about it, and the more it becomes regular in our everyday lives, it doesn't affect us in the same way. The impact is not the same. Says the Stifler, if they would have stopped for a moment and observed what they had seen, that everyone was so tired, was so busy in the avilos, everyone's so sad, everyone's down, then they would have said, hold on a second. It can't be that this happens every day. If every single day this land is just devouring its inhabitants, then they would have just gone on as normal and done what they did. The fact that today everyone is so busy, they're so stooped in their difficulties, in their avilos, it must be this is a one-time occurrence. So it's not that the land devours inhabitants. Something happened yesterday. There was a plague. There was a big accident. Something out of the ordinary. And it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with us coming into Eretz Yisrael. They could have interpreted it in that way. But there's another thing that they should have realized. And that is pointed out by the Sefer Nachlas Devash. He points out something very, very fascinating. In Parshas Maaseh, when the Torah is depicting the travels of the Bnei Yisrael through the Midbar, it starts off as follows. Vayimsu Meramses b'chodesh harishon. They left Ramses, a town in Egypt, right after Pesach. Yatsu Yisrael b'yad Ramah. They went up on a high. Things were amazing. Le'nei kol Mitzrayim. Right in front of everyone's eyes. Just walked right out. And it says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael Meramses. They left Ramses. Vayachadu b'sukos. They went into Sukos. Vayisu b'sukos v'nachum b'nei Esav. They left Sukos. They went to Esav. Vayisu b'nei Esav. They left Esav and they went to Piachiros. Left, went. Except there's one pasuk that I skipped. Right after it says that they left Mitzrayim, the Torah doesn't just say they left and they went. It inserts one line. Mitzrayim, when they walked out, and right, people just watching them walk, stroll right out of Mitzrayim, the Mitzrim are Mekabrim. They were burying the dead. The night before, it was Makas Bechoros, the plague of the firstborn, and they were burying all the firstborn. Vayishu b'nei Yisrael Meramses, left Ramses, went to Sukkos, etc. And it continues. Why is that line inserted over here? Why is that important for us? Says Rashi, two words. Listen to these words, they might be familiar. Mitzrayim Mekabrim, the Egyptians were burying the dead. Trudim Be'evlam. They were busy with the avelos, with mourning the dead. The exact same two words that Rashi uses in this week's Parsha, when it discusses how the inhabitants were burying the dead, they were true, they were busy with Evlam. Over there in Egypt, how did Bnei Yisrael just stroll out of Mitzrayim? Hi, bye-bye. How'd that happen? Because the people were not paying attention to them because they were so busy mourning and burying the firstborn and that firstborn and this firstborn. So they didn't pay attention. That's the only reason the Jewish people were able to leave. They were able to leave B'yad Ramah because the Egyptians were too busy with what they were doing. They were chewed in B'evlam. B'nai Yisrael didn't observe that. They didn't notice that. It didn't sit in on their consciousness. And when the exact same thing happened, not so long afterwards, when the Meraglim were in Eretz Yisrael, and they saw the people, Trudim Be'evlam, busy with the dead, they didn't say, hey, this happened to us once before, and that's how we got out of Egypt. God must be helping us over here also. It must be helping us so that they don't notice us. Just like they didn't notice us when we left Mitzrayim. They didn't say that. They didn't even remember what happened when they left Mitzrayim. That observation was even, whether not noticed at all, or it just didn't stick. And then they interpreted it in the wrong way.
They said, oh, this is bad. We're in trouble. We can't take this on. They already had an experience, the exact same one, which was for their good. And that was clear as day that it was for their good. Dancing Adam and Mitzrayim. And they didn't interpret it in the right way. It didn't affect them. It didn't notice it. It didn't stick with them. Observation is maybe becoming extinct. People just don't pay attention. Everyone has to be busy every moment with something right now. You can't sit there and just look at something. Look at an experience. Have an experience. And stop and say, what did I just go through? What did I just learn from what happened? It could be something good. It could be something bad. But it's something that I can go ahead and take from and learn from. Wow. Look at this. Let me remember this. I don't know why I have to remember this right now. But let me remember this and see how this worked. It might help me in the future. I may be able to relate to people in a different way. It's a very important skill. Mindfulness, observation. And it's not just observing ourselves, becoming self-aware of what makes us angry, what makes us successful, what allows us to be better people, but it's observing other people, noticing things in our roommates, noticing things in our wives, what makes them happy, what makes them sad, what makes them nervous. When I say it like this, of course I didn't mean that, but it's interpreted that way. Okay, so then let me observe that, let me take note of that so it doesn't happen again. Or I do something nice for someone. I never would have thought that was important. But let me sit down for a second. Let me record that in my computer up here so that I remember that the next time I'm going to do it, I'm also going to be able to make that person happy. It's a whole other area that every one of us have to be mashkia in. We have to invest time and effort into observing. We have to know what are facts. What are interpretations? Are those interpretations correct? Are our observations correct? Are our conclusions correct? But we have to study it. We have to look, observe, and study that which we are experiencing. In Shmuel Aleph, in Perek Yud Zayin, the Psukim talk about Goliath, that he was going to come and enslave the Jewish people, and someone had to get there and fight him. Someone had to fight him. So Shaul was looking, who's going to be that guy? So little David comes and says, it's going to be me. He says, you, you're a shepherd. You're nothing. You're going to fight. You've never experienced a fight in your life. You're going to go ahead and take on this giant? It's not Shaikh. So he said, oh, it is. Really? But Rashi says that David recently had an experience where there was a lion and a bear who came to attack his flock. Put him in danger, and he was able to fight them off. And David said to himself, why did this happen to me? Why did I have this experience? Why did God send this to me that I could see that I'm successful? It must be that that's in order so that I could save Klal Yisrael. Hashem gave me that experience where it was beyond what I expected. I never thought I would have been able to do it. I was able to take on the lion and the bear, save myself, save the flock. It must be that Hashem was showing me that I can do this to save Klal Yisrael. And he told that to Shaul, and Shaul said, okay, go for it. And the leader of the Jewish people, the king of the Jewish people, King David HaMelech, was because of that observation that he made. He didn't just walk out and say, ha-ha, I'm strong. Let me tell everyone what I did. A trophy. Where's that picture? Let me share it on social media. That wasn't his reaction. His reaction was, wow, that experience that I just had must be for something in the future. Let me learn from that. I didn't realize I could accomplish that. Now I know I'm able to be more successful than I expected. I know that I have talents that I never even knew I had. I know that I have powers that I never knew I had. Let me go ahead and use that and share that. And that's what he did with Shaul. And Shaul bought it, and that's what happened. He took down Goliath. The leader of the Jewish people stemmed from a very basic observation. And observing ourselves and observing others is clearly a very important trait for any leader. You want to be able to move people. You want to be able to affect people. You want to be able to bring people closer to Hashem. It's only if you observe them. It's not let me take out my handbook and let me start shooting stuff at you, and now you're going to change. It's by me understanding who I'm working with, who I'm dealing with, who am I trying to affect. It could be my roommate, it could be my wife, it could be my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, whoever it is. Let me observe them, understand them. I might not act on that right now, but I'm going to get to know them better. I'm going to get to know the situations better. I'm going to see what happens when a person is self-centered, when a person gets angry. I'm going to learn lessons from those things. You don't have to read handbooks all the time. Self-help books. We're around self-help books all day and all night. We just have to stop for a minute and observe. And then we do that, and we take it in a very, very real way. We will all notice that we have kohos, we have powers that we never realized we had. We'll be able to affect things that we never thought that we could affect. We'll be able to reach heights that we never thought we'd be able to reach. And we'll be able to serve as amazing leaders, have tremendous hashpa, tremendous influence on many other people. And we can all raise together in our goal of Kiddush Hashem. Shabbos.